time now for our presentation. And our president of the fellowship is going to be our presenter, Joanne Green. Joanne has been a Unitarian for almost 55 years. Joanne's parents had moved to Calgary in 1950, and the city was a very conservative town. Like many families, Joanne's parents belonged to the United Church. However, her mother reached a point where she just couldn't teach Sunday school at the United Church any longer. Fortunately, friends pointed them in a different direction, and her parents joined the Unitarian Church of Calgary when Joanne was 8 years old. Joanne says that one of the most important parts of Unitarian life as a teenager was liberal religious youth. The group was more than accepting of differences. They encouraged the teenagers to think for themselves. In the late 60s, there were so many political changes to think about and act upon. It was a heady time for Unitarians. Anti-Vietnam War protests, invasions in Czechoslovakia, and pushing for women's rights provided the backdrop to life in the 60s. Joanne is the current president of the Unitarian Fellowship. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you, Jim. Actually, some of that's in my talk, too. I probably could have said, don't bother with an intro, but that's okay. Thank you. So I'm glad you could all be here today. We've advertised this service as one where I'll talk about commitment to and nurturing of beloved community. We could talk about loyalty or devotion instead of commitment, but neither of those has quite the same meaning to me. I'll try to explain why I'm committed to the Unitarian Universalist religious community and why I think others can benefit too. First, though, just a few words about pledging and our canvas. We're doing things differently this year in our quest for your commitment. We're talking more openly about money and why we hope you will be generous with your donations. A week ago, we sent out canvas letters by email and mail. I'm not sure how many people actually opened their letters on their emails, because I hear that some of the board members didn't. But anyway, I hope that we will be sending them out again. In that letter, our treasurer and my husband, Wayne, refers to our own personal commitment. The fellowship is a large part of our lives, and for me, very important to my spiritual growth and health. So as I said, this coming week, we'll follow up with pledge forms and a suggested giving guide. A few copies are available in hard copy for those without computers. You can get them from Wayne this morning. The giving guide talks about different levels of financial support. The supporter, for whom the fellowship is a significant part of their life. The sustainer, for whom the fellowship is central to their life, and they are committed to sustaining our programs. And the visionary, who, by their levels of donation, says, I am committed to both the present and future growth of my fellowship and our programs. We know using a giving guide is different. We hope you can receive it in the spirit it is intended. It's a guide. 2 weeks from today, Reverend Karen will talk about money from a different perspective, and we'll be seeking your commitment or pledges at that time. Now, back to the subject of today's talk. There are 4 questions I posed in the service description. What does it mean to be committed and dedicated to a cause? We all have done this at some point or other. Why do I make a promise to support and nurture our community? What do we receive by making a commitment? And finally, what might inspire you to be committed to the Unitarian Fellowship? I'll address each of these questions separately, hopefully in a way that illustrates my own beliefs. The glasses and the paper don't go together. Commitment. What does that mean to any of us? Is it loyalty, allegiance, dedication, faithfulness, duty? For me, all of these words convey some degree of acceptance without question. Soldiers have a duty to follow their leader's commands, but blind loyalty has led to some horrific events throughout history. We saw that again on Friday in Paris and in Lebanon and so many places. The word commitment offers the element of choice. I make a promise freely and without coercion. It is a promise of service and love to our fellowship and our religious community. One description of commitment I've seen comes from inspirational cards that were given to me by a friend. The promises I make to myself are kept until they are no longer of service to me. My commitment to the Unitarian Fellowship is more than that, though. I need the Unitarians as my guide. I draw upon the human and the book wisdom I hear. That's not very good grammar, is it? Okay. One of our readings expresses my feelings well. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Second, why am I committed to this community? Jim touched on some of that in the introduction. Unitarian communities encourage examination of ideas and allow for support of our spiritual selves. After my family joined the Unitarian congregation in Calgary, they were happy to find a home where open discussion of religion and social justice were the norm. We had been accepted in a community where it was okay to question dogma. It was okay to challenge narrow thinking and explore ideas from many places. It was okay to be different. We were fortunate, too, to have healthy role models of all sorts. Aboriginal, pacifist, feminist, atheist, humanist, probably some theists, too. I was too young to really make those distinctions. Sadly, one of our role models, Bill Watney from the Red Pheasant Reserve, died, well, almost a month ago now. The first lawyer, First Nations lawyer, to be called to the bar in Western Canada in something like 1958. So we were really lucky. We had some good role models. While this Unitarian congregation is my community today, I still have strong ties with the people in Calgary. Calgary in the 1950s and 60s was like many other prairie cities, mainly whites of European ancestry, with a sprinkling of Aboriginals and some Chinese Canadians, perhaps. Our social circles were mainly Protestant, and until joining the Unitarian Church. Even as a child, I believed strongly in religious freedom. I couldn't accept that one religion or another had all the answers. This belief is still one of the reasons I continue to be committed. During my teens, I experienced a fair bit of bullying and name-calling at junior and senior high. This ranged from simple things like greeny grasshopper in junior high to being called a slut in high school. The last label was the result of the double standard of the times. And while it was very hurtful, it made me really angry too. And although I was in the high school choir, I didn't feel very connected to the rest of the high school social scene. I was more interested in the Vietnam War protests, equality for women and minorities, and politics. In the Calgary Unitarian Congregation and every other community I've visited, the things I was passionate about were all okay. I felt I had an emotional home that supported me in ways my school or family could not. Today, I still need a religious community that will accept me as I am, where I won't be told I'm doomed because of some belief I hold or because I'm different. That's one of the main reasons I joined this fellowship in 1996. Third question, what do we receive by making a commitment? Reverend Karen Fraser-Gitlitz talked last May about beloved community. Some of the things she said resonated with me, and here I'm quoting. Beloved community, a term made popular by Martin Luther King, is one where everyone is welcome to participate and has the opportunity to flourish. There is something that happens when people get together for worship, community building, or social justice. When we bring together our focused intentions and goodwill to the situation, suddenly there are more possibilities than a moment before. Shared ministry, and I'm still quoting here, shared ministry means everything that we do that serves our purpose. Sunday services, running seminars, caring for children. No one person owns this work. A minister is granted a leadership role, but they are not in charge. The board is not in charge. The ultimate authority is the mission or purpose of the congregation. We all decide together how to meet this purpose or mission. It's up to us to decide if we want to be committed. Together we decide what we want our community to look like. Loyalty to beloved community helps us avoid idolizing a particular program or ideal. Our goal is beloved community, the transformation of each of us that brings about the transformation of the whole. Okay, now back to my own words here. One of the most important things that I receive through my association with this congregation is connection with all of you. You are the people that help me be a better person through your example and through directly challenging my ideas or behaviors. In the Unitarian language, and many others I'm sure, the word covenant is used in some ways that are similar to the word commitment. There are many congregations that have created a covenant of right relations for their community to help them behave in ways that safeguard that community. Our new minister has talked about speaking truth with love and making loving space for truth when it comes out awkwardly, as it often does. This is another aspect of being in community which is important to me. Last, but certainly not least, what might inspire you to be committed? Or what has inspired you? There is a movement in North America that is known as Be the Change. There are variations that have been adopted by businesses and nonprofits to inspire their mission. Many reference a saying that goes something like this: be the change you want to see in the world. On a website created by a nonprofit called Be the Change, their definition states, to create peace and connection from the inside out, to move away from hopelessness and fear, and take powerful positive steps toward creating the life and world of our dreams. I think this slogan is inspirational to many because it's based on action. Be the change. Although the slogan is claimed as a quote from Gandhi, there is some doubt about the actual words. Brian Morton, the director of the graduate program in fiction at Sarah Lawrence College, wrote a 2011 article in which he said, the nearest reliable quote from Gandhi went something like this: if we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change. As a man changes his own nature, so does the attitude of the world change towards him. We need not wait to see what others do. In other words, the golden rule. I want to serve a community where we promise to be with others in gentleness and love, where we welcome people of all walks of life, and where we promise to work towards the betterment of society. A reading in our songbook by Reverend Mark Morrison Reed talks about the task of the religious community. In it, he says, "The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind us each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be done, and our strength too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed." So in conclusion, on November 28th, we'll work to create a plan of action to continue down the path to the goals we've identified. That will mean my personal commitment of time and energy. It will mean working in community to confirm the goals and create the action plan. My commitment is a promise to support the congregation both financially and with my time. It is a promise to our democratic principles, to the people of the congregation, and to the financial health of our fellowship. I make this promise wholeheartedly, but with my eyes open, knowing I will make mistakes. Knowing you will do your best to honor and accept me as I am. But that's the easy part, making that commitment. The hard part is keeping the commitment, and for that, I need you. My vision of beloved community will be different than yours, but I'm giving you my commitment to work on building beloved community with all of you.